You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
Ano man ang mga hirap at pasakit na dala ng buhay at trabaho, kinakayang lahat ito ni Jennifer Reyes, isang techpreneur, Women in Tech awardee, cancer survivor, asawa at ina.
My family did migrate to Australia when I was 8 years old. So in Australia, there's myself, my mum and dad, my grandmother, and my one and only older sister. Being 8 years old, I'm not sure whether you grew up here or you grew up in Manila, but in the Philippines, you know, kids are like, we play in the street pretty much. You know, As kids, we make friends not only at school but also within your community. So you know, my sister and I we had heaps of friends. You know, we're very active. We would never be in the house. You know, we would always, I guess, causing trouble coming from my great grandmother anyway, causing trouble out in the streets. So we've kind of established ourselves there. You know, again with our friends and with our cousins. So we were quite a tight knit kind of group. And, you know, when my parents decided to uproot us and, you know, decided to go to a foreign country, which we've never been before. I mean, we've heard of it because my Australian cousins would often come to Manila. And of course, they would tell us about this wonderful land that they live in. You know, kids being kids, we were quite upset. You know, I mean, at first it was really exciting, I guess. I started off being really excited, you know, going to the airport, saying goodbye to all our friends and stuff like that. But reality kind of sank in when we had to go to school and, you know, when we realized that we had to actually make new friends. So, yeah, so I remember being very upset with my parents. I remember one day I was watching TV, and I kind of turned around to my dad and said, out of all the countries that you had to ship us to, why couldn't you ship us to America where they have Sesame Street? You know? So, So I pretty much grew up here in good old Perth. And, you know, I studied here, went to primary school here, high school, university, and have pretty much, lived here all my life.
Were you always in tech, or have you always found yourself interested in technology?
That's a really good question. I've always been very interested in moving things. I've always been very interested in the science side of things, you know, the science fiction and the robots and things like that. But I wouldn't say that I've always been interested in technology. So I guess back then I didn't know what technology was. And to be perfectly honest with you, the reason I got into technology and computer science was to actually meet boys. You know, mind you, I remember going to lectures and it was basically, I guess out of all the lecture, like in the whole lecture, there was probably about two or three females. And, you know, and that's when I thought, all right, I chose the right course. But lucky enough, I actually enjoyed doing it. And, you know, I'm not like a diehard coder or a diehard programmer, but I absolutely love the commercial side of technology. I absolutely love, putting in place the business case as to how technology can enable, you know, economic growth, economic productivity, and things like that, and where it actually can lead us as a society. So that kind of tech I'm really into.
So have you encountered any struggles or any issues with being a woman in technology?
To be honest, I don't think I have, and it's probably just because of the way I look at it. I don't kind of go into a meeting and think, "Oh, I'm the only woman here." You know, how will they look at me? How will they see me? And any challenges I kind of went through in my career, I didn't actually think of it in the basis of, "Oh, that's because I'm a woman." You know, the challenges that I went through, is I kind of took that in because, you know, "Oh, I need this skill set, I need to develop myself," or, you know, that was not the right opportunity.
Do you think that maybe it could have been actually an asset, being a woman in a male-dominated industry?
Actually, if you look at it that way, yes, I do. And I guess that's how I think about it, you know, because I mean, women in general bring in a completely different, fresh perspective to any discussion. You know, the way we think about solving a solution is completely different. So, yeah, I've always looked at it from a positive standpoint.
So can you talk about your company, VROC?
Sure. So VROC, we started it back in 2013 as an R&D project. And the reason for that is because back then I was working for I've always worked for corporations all my life. So going into the entrepreneurship world is completely foreign to me. But you know, I absolutely love it. But that's a completely different story. So with VROC, we started it because we kind of saw a shift in the market, and we kind of saw a shift in terms of the way people would do things, you know, operationally, especially in the oil and gas industry, which is where I'm from. So the company that I used to work in prior to VROC, my role was to scout the globe for new up and coming technology that will help the business. Then once I've done that, I'll project manage and implement these systems within the company. So by doing that, in essence, I saw a lot of gaps. So I kind of saw, I kind of questioned why we were doing those things that we were doing, while as the market is heading in a completely different, in a completely autonomous direction. So at the same time, I was doing my MBA as well. And, you know, the one thing that the MBA teaches you is to kind of really challenge and think outside the box. So, that's what I did. And I started talking to my husband, who is also the co-founder of VROC. So he's more techie than I am. And I started talking to him about, you know, some of the challenges that we're facing and some of, I guess, my thoughts in terms of how we can make things better. So, and at the same time, he was also looking at the big data space and the machine learning space, because we also own a control systems engineering company called BlockTech. And control systems engineering, they deal with a lot of industrial big data. So anyway, cut a long story short, we started that R&D project back in 2013. We had a POC working quite well, but, you know, we weren't sure if what we had was something that we could actually commercialize, something that we could sell, and who would buy it. We then got one of the big fours engaged in early 2015, and what they did was they performed the market analysis. So basically, they scouted the market, they interviewed some big companies, and they pretty much put forward a proposal as to, okay, well, if you had this kind of technology within your business, how would it help you, and will you buy it? So the report came back as, you know, really, really positive. And so that's when I kind of decided, well, you know what, it seems like there's something there, and I'm not getting any younger, so I might as well, you know, I might as well do what my heart tells me to do. So in 2015, I resigned from a very comfy corporate job and decided to kind of jump into this entrepreneurship world. So that's pretty much how it started. So 2015 and then late 2015, our first client ever happened to be a government-owned company in Singapore, which is, you know, which was a big win for us. I guess, you know, going back to passionate about entrepreneurship and things like that, you know that saying, you know, I'm not very good at my idioms, so I'm going to try, but you know that saying, what is it, when it rains, it falls? Is that how it goes?
Oh, when it rains, it pours? Yeah.
Yeah, it pours. It rains, it pours. There you go. I'm really bad at my idioms. Sorry about that. back in 2015 when I decided to, okay, let's try this entrepreneurial thing, at the same time I became pregnant and first-time mother. And I swear to God, being a first-time mother is not an easy feat.
No.
And then on top of that is, starting a company. So I remember back then I just thought, oh my God, what else can you give me to actually, basically, God, what else can you give me? You know, I have so much on my plate. I don't know how I can handle this, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? I got through it. I got through that, and which I thought was probably one of my darkest/exciting times. So, you know, I have my good days and I have my bad days. So fast forward that, when I finally got the hang of being a first-time mother and being a first-time entrepreneur, fast forward to 2017, late 2017, I was told that I was diagnosed with aggressive breast cancer. And so I thought, great. So here comes another hump on the road. I remember hearing the news from my oncologist. And I remember going home and I kind of said to my husband, you know what, it doesn't matter. I said to him, you know what we need to do now is we need to think of it from a point of view of business as usual. So I guess, you know, I kind of said that to my husband. I came to work and I had a team meeting, and the message that I sent to my team is that, you know, I want this to be business as usual. I don't want this to kind of impact, you know, what we're doing, because we're doing some really fantastic things here. We've got some major clients on board. You know, just rest assured that this is not going to impact, you know, what we're currently doing now. So right from the very beginning, I had to kind of prepare myself for that kind of mindset. And it's also the fact that, you know, the cancer, I just did not want that to impact who I was, I didn't want that to impact my life, and I definitely did not want that to impact my family. I had such really good support from, you know, from my team, from my husband, from my family, from my mom and dad, from my, you know, mother-in-law, my father-in-law, everyone, my sister, everyone was just so cool and awesome about it. They never once treated me as a cancer patient. And it was really lovely to kind of still be able to come to work and get your mind out of the fact that, you know, you have this sickness. So basically I went through rigorous treatment of chemo. I had it every 3 weeks on a Thursday. I would still be at work. I would take the Friday off, but then I'd have to be up and about on a Saturday to spend that time with, you know, my little boy and my husband. So the only time that I was literally out of the office was that when I had my double mastectomy. I think that was on my birthday in April. So that was a nice way to spend a birthday. Yeah. So I was, I think I took about a month off for that. And then I basically went back to work. And at the same time, I had my radiation. But you know what? It's, in hindsight, it's amazing what a human can do once you put your mind into something. And, you know, and I remember people kind of, you know, my friends and my family telling me, oh, you need to kind of, you know, step back, you know, relax, take some time off. And in hindsight, I'm glad I didn't, because that kind of really contributed to my healing. But in all honesty, you know, it's really the mindset. I mean, you know, I'm not superhuman, and everyone can do it, you know. And to be perfectly honest, if I didn't have that support either, I don't think I would have. At the moment, I'm still taking oral chemo, and I'm still seeing my oncologist and getting some injections done every 3 weeks. So I'm not in remission at the moment. So it takes about 5 years for a cancer patient to be classified, I guess, as cancer-free. But the last scans I had didn't show any anomalies. So fingers crossed.
So what advice can you give to people going through setbacks and struggles in life?
Gosh, let me see. To me, struggles to me is, the way I see it, is a bump in the road. You know, you kind of really have to keep going in order for you to get over that bump. So to me, a struggle is not a lifetime of struggle. It's only a lifetime of struggle once you stop.
sbs.com.au